Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing you expert analysis on what the new CAP deal means for you and your farm payments.
Now, next month, world leaders will attend a global UN food systems summit in New York, which organisers say will be a defining moment for the future of agriculture. Well, 2 weeks ago, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin launched the government's new agri-food and marine strategy, Food Vision 2030. It aims to make Ireland a world leader in sustainable food systems over the next decade. And the committee who agreed this strategy was led by Tom Arnold. Its publication came as aid agencies Trocra and Oxfam Ireland themselves released a major new report, which looks at exactly the same question. And it was written by food policy and development researcher Sinead Moulds. And I'm delighted to say that Tom and Sinead join me this morning. Good morning to you both, and thanks for coming in. John, thank you particularly for coming in. This is your third time into Countrywide. You've been keeping us informed about how things are going since you started your chairpersonship of the committee in 2019. I just suppose I want to ask you, it's been quite the week for the planet. Last Monday, at the launch of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the UN Secretary General said, "The alarm bells are deafening. The evidence is irrefutable. The report is a code red for humanity." Now, your Food Vision 2030 strategy aims to expand food exports from 14 billion or so now to 21 billion euro by 2030. And I just wonder how on earth we're going to get there, and that's going to be possible given the climate and biodiversity crises we're now in.
Well, that expansion in the value of exports is really in the value. It's very little volume attached to it. So we're not projecting in that there's going to be a big expansion in Irish agricultural production over the next 7 years. What we are saying is, though, that we believe that for the next decade, Irish agri-food sector has to be centrally focused on sustainability in its three dimensions of economic, environmental and social. And what our report does is set out the policies that we think are necessary to achieve that. So to that extent, I think what we've done in Food Vision 2030 is entirely in line with what the Secretary General spoke about. The IPCC report this week really brings it home to everybody, the urgency and the need for decisive action to deal with this. And the fact that there is a food system summit in New York next month, this is only the sixth time in 80 years that the world has had a summit on food. And that's really because there's an acceptance now that food and how it's produced and consumed is at the centre of achieving the Sustainable Development Goals.
I just wonder, I mean, farmers listening may be wondering, and also people who buy Irish food, isn't sustainability already, haven't we achieved that? I mean, isn't that what Origin Green was for when it was launched back in 2012? Aren't we already a global leader in sustainability?
Well, I mean, some people certainly acknowledge that Origin Green has had its role, but it's only a very small part of a much bigger picture. So what our report is, what our strategy is saying, is that there really has to be very tangible ways of understanding what economic, environmental and social sustainability actually mean. And I think we've done our best to spell that out. We've put out a 10-year vision, if you like, for the future, but that vision is going to have to be implemented in stages. And I think one of the critical things to say is that in the first stage of this process, for the next number of years, a central part of the priorities is going to be dealing with some of the environmental problems. And that, I think, will be one of our major challenges. I think we spelled out in considerable detail what needs to be done in terms of the environment.
So you talk about three pillars of sustainability. Would you see the environmental having a lot more weight than the other two now?
No, I think they have to have equal levels of importance. But what we do have is, I think, a level of sequencing here. And there is an urgency about tackling some of the existing environmental problems, the issue of emissions, the issue of biodiversity, and water quality in particular is something that I think has to be addressed with great urgency. And here I think the dairy sector has a particular responsibility to address this in collaboration with the major food companies and with the Department of Agriculture and with the state agencies. But at this point, there really can be no compromise on the issue of water quality. There has to be measures in place to turn the tide, if you like, to use a phrase, to get Irish water quality on a trajectory where it's clear that it is improving.
OK, and I know that if the dairy industry was here, they would say their partnership with Teagasc under the Agricultural Sustainable Support and Advice Programme is part of that, and that has been going for over a year. Sinead, can I bring you in? Your report looks at the steps that Ireland can take to become a global leader in sustainable food systems. Seems to me the word sustainable can kind of mean anything you want it to mean. It's a bit like the word, I don't know, good or bad. It is however you define it. How do you define it?
Yeah, thanks, Ella. I mean, it's a complicated question, I suppose, but one way of looking at what a sustainable food system is one that's going to be providing people with nourishing food, adequate and stable incomes, especially for those producing food, and at the same time that's going to be benefiting the landscapes and habitats in which it's operating. So producing highly nutritional food rather than some of the starchy foods that we're seeing that dominate the food systems, that's promoting soil health and that's boosting rural economies.
And what can farmers take away from your report? I mean, they have to get a margin. We know that. And we've also seen an erosion of their margin over the past few decades. But what can they take away from what you've written?
Yes, I mean, definitely. So farmers need to be supported. And in our report, what we focus on is government's role at the policy level, what needs to be done for Ireland to become a global leader. And so at the moment, the report shows that Ireland has a long way to go when it comes to making its funding more sustainable. So how we spend our money in Ireland. And currently, the data shows that the vast majority, 81% of agricultural subsidies are still going towards programmes that are essentially business as usual. There's no specific sustainability component attached to them. And especially in light of the urgency of the problems we're facing and the budgetary constraints that the Irish government is under, it doesn't really make sense to us that the Department of Agriculture, for example, chooses to spend 50% more of its funding on greyhound racing than it does on horticultural development, and 15% more on greyhound racing than organic production, which has these multiple benefits of improved animal welfare and improved biodiversity. So we're saying that that farmers should be calling and they should be receiving greater support where there's a reprioritization of funding towards programmes that are going to support farmers and that have a more transformative impact.
Tom, I wonder in your report, can you offer any insight as to whether that is going to happen or not?
Yeah, we're very clear. There needs to be more emphasis on local production, more emphasis on organic production, on horticulture, on a circular economy approach to the farmers, to the economy, and particularly that, you know, the whole business of resilience within the farming system is focused on. So there are many respects, I would say, great synergies between what Sinead has written in her report and what we have actually said, what we have recommended.
Would you agree with that, Sinead?
In part, for sure. I think the Food Vision 2030 is a great step. And if the Irish government can follow through on some of the commitments in there, the Irish, yeah.
One of the things that you say in your report is that local production and shorter supply chains are needed to help farmers, to revitalise rural areas and to stimulate local economies. I just wonder, I mean, we have a sector that is export driven and it's very globalised. We have a very small population here. How realistic is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question that I think needs to be explored much, much more. But at the moment, Ireland's imports, for example, when it comes to fruit and veg, don't make sense. The second largest imports on fruit and veg are potatoes and apples, so things that could be grown locally. And so what we're saying is, regardless of how it ends up being balanced out in terms of local versus export orientation, more balance is needed. So first we need to invest more in these local supply chains, such as Leader, for example, to boost the social cohesion. But also we need to look at who's benefiting really from this. So currently just 43 large firms are accounting for 84% of the agri-food export in Ireland. So if we were to invest more in organic, for example, smaller farmers may be able to benefit also from this export.
And just briefly as well, you want and you recommend mentioned that an independent food policy body is set up similar to the Climate Change Council that could have a legal basis and advise the government. Why do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, well, for several reasons. I'll just touch on a couple of them here. First of all, because we found in our analysis that there's definitely a need for much greater representation on these agri-food strategy committees. So we found, for example, that there were just 2 representatives apiece for environment and health compared to 14 representatives that had ties to the private sector. And of those, 75% were large companies, so not necessarily reflecting the views of rural communities, for example. And in a democratic system, for something as important as food, which, you know, can make us sick or can heal us, we feel that everybody should have a say in the decisions that shape their food system.
To get broader voices in. Tom, I just want to finish with you. The UN Food Summit is next month. The Taoiseach will be there. We are positioning ourselves as global leaders in sustainable food systems. And yet here at home, and we know this to be the case because the scientists have told us, the reality is nitrogen and carbon emissions have increased beyond minimum legal limits. Species are slipping away. 85% of protected habitats have unfavourable status. And as you have mentioned, water pollution is a serious problem. Are we lacking a bit of humility here to be able to stand on the world stage?
Well, there's a very careful sentence towards the end of the food of our Vision 2030 to say that we don't hold ourselves out as paragons of virtue. We accept that there is certainly, there are issues to be dealt with, and we've set out an agenda to deal with that over the next decade. But I think the core point is that Ireland actually does have something very valuable to bring to the Food System Summit, that we've developed this strategy using what's called a food systems basis to acknowledge the links between food, the environment and health, that we're, I think, probably the only country to have done this in recent times. And that would be a message that from the Taoiseach to the summit, that the government is committed to this. And clearly we can't preach what we don't practice. So there's a kind of a domestic dimension to our policy, but there's also an external dimension as well. And there's 4 major meetings before the end of the year. The Food System Summit, the Biodiversity Summit in China, the COP26 in Glasgow, and the Nutrition for Growth. Ireland has something valuable to say at each of these meetings.
And we no doubt will be revisiting this very important subject. Tom Arnold and Sinead Moulds, thank you both very much for coming in this morning.